You had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thank you for congratulating us on that 50th anniversary. Appreciate that. I'm going to write the text I have on the board here. Before I knew I was coming here, but it really inspired me. So pray for me that I'll bring out, if you have paper and pen and you want to write down some of these scriptures, they're really, really good. We want to turn to St. John 3 and 12. It says, this is a text that the Lord gave me. I was trying to figure out how to title this message. And Jesus' words, he says in 3 and 12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And the Lord told me to title this, he brought that scripture to my mind. I tell you of heavenly things. So that's what we're going to share this morning, is things about heaven. Things that are concrete that we can get a hold of. The Lord, first of all, he went on to say in this scripture, in his words, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the first thing, and talking about heavenly things, is you and I are promised eternal life, or everlasting life. So we want to get a hold of that, first of all. And in heavenly things, when this life here on earth is over, that we have a promise and a hope in us of everlasting life in heaven. So we're going to talk about heavenly things. And if we know that we're going to have eternal life, we need to know a little bit of life, what's going to happen, or what it's going to be like. So what will it be like? What will I be like? Some people say, well, you know who you are. Yes, I believe, according to the scriptures, you're going to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, what comfort would that be, really, to be in heaven, right? You're going to know who you are. You're going to know you're alive. You know you're existing. But you're going to be different. You're going to be in heaven. So, Hebrews 2 and 7, we want to start according to the scriptures and get an insight, and pray God will bless you this morning and help your mind to get a hold of these scriptures and encourage you. Hebrews 2 and 7 says, thou madest him, talking about us, our fleshly body. Thou madest him, and talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus here, but also us. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and just set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. How was Jesus made? Now, for us to understand what an angel is like, we've got to understand, first of all, what we're like. We're totally different in the body, the fleshly part right now, right? Our spirit and soul is akin, but our body, fleshly body, will die. That's where the big difference is. We have pain, we have tears, we have sorrow, we have happiness and joy and all those things too in human life. But human beings, we are lower than the angels, but it just says a little lower. So when we're talking about heavenly things, that means the big change is going to be the body, okay? The body is going to be changed to a glorified body in the last resurrection. According to the scriptures, now, Jesus was made and he was born in a manger. He was incarnated as the Son of God in a fleshly body for the purpose of tasting what we are like, to know what it is like to be a human being, to understand us. So when we pray and all, and then die on the cross, he had to have a human body to die on the cross, to suffer for us. So he was made a little lower than the angels for just that little span of time. Now he's back in power. I mean, he was always in power, but you know what I mean? He's elevated back to heaven, and he's in his position. So we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels just for a little while, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may be by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Okay, so now we want to go to, he was made after, he was made after, he took upon him the seed of Abraham. He took that upon. The 14th verse, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So he did this just for a little while. Okay, now we want to go over here to Hebrews 3:13-2. So we're going to be like angels. We're teaching you, we're telling you of heavenly things. We're going to be like angels. And according to the scriptures, in Hebrews 13:2, we want to read a verse over here. This can be very, very wonderful to think about, okay? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now this scripture here, we are going to see that an angel, according to this scripture, and I'm not saying there could be other heavenly beings, glorified beings that look differently, but I'm just telling you, if you're going to be unaware of an angel, then they're not going to be at that moment huge wings, or they're going to look like you and I. That's why they're unaware to us. There are angels that has been among us, okay? I believe that. That look like a human being. That's the only possible way they could be unaware to you. Because if they came with glistening wings and things, you would know that's an angel, okay? And you would... But they're going to look like us. And that's why they're unaware to us. And so it says, be careful how you treat strangers, because you could be entertaining an angel. So you got to be careful how you treat people. It's going to be totally unaware to you. So that's why you got to be so careful. Because it says here, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I really wonder in Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot invited the angels in, if he knew they were really angels in the beginning. I don't know if he really knew that, but he was I'm not saying he did or he didn't, but I know he did when they smote them with blindness. He knew for sure. But what I'm trying to say, he entertained them. He's going to come in. He's going to give them some food and treat them good. Abraham, when Jesus was walking with the angels and he got there to get a big feast, you know that story. But anyway, what I want to get a hold of is, what body does an angel have? Now, according to the scripture, the glorified body would be akin to Jesus' glorified body. Angels can vanish. Jesus vanished. Now, we're going to read these scriptures because it's just not my thinking. It's what I studied in the Bible. Jesus vanished. You remember when he was walking on the road with the two men and they were talking to him? And when he got done talking to them, they said, didn't our heart burn within us? All of us, after that, it says he vanished. Now I'm going to read that. He vanished. We cannot vanish. Right? And I'm not trying to be funny, but it's the truth. I mean, we are human beings, flesh and blood. We cannot do these miracles. We cannot walk through walls. We cannot vanish. We cannot just suddenly appear through locked doors. We can't do that. But a glorified body can. And at the end of our life, and when we get resurrected from the dead, we will have a glorified body like that. We will be like the angels. I'm telling you of heavenly things this morning. I want you to be encouraged and be aware that these things are going to happen to us. He said, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe, then how are you ever going to believe these heavenly things? But I'm telling you, by the authority of God's word and the authority of God Almighty, that these things are true. This is going to be a wonderful inheritance someday that the saints are going to have, right? Wonderful. And so we want to read over here and just follow me along in the scripture. Matthew 22 and 30. Angels, no longer is marriage needed in heaven. There'll be no more marriage, but you might say, well, will I know my companion? The way I'm thinking, and like I said, I'm only going to go by what the Bible says. I believe we're going to know one another, but you might not know that person as your husband and wife, but I believe you're going to recognize something there. You're going to recognize. But because it tells about how Jesus met with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Figuration. He knew who Moses was. Moses knew who Moses was. He knew himself. Elijah knew who he was. And Jesus knew who Elijah was, you know. But there's no more need of marriage because you're different. It's a different city, the heavenly city. There's no need for children to be born and there's just no need for that anymore. It's different. And so Matthew 22 and 30 says, that if, you know, he went to, they were telling how a wife died, her husband died, she married his brother, and then he died, she married his other brother, and ended up seven brothers. So whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? That's the 28th verse. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? And Jesus answered and said unto her, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. What I'm trying to say, saints, lots of times people look at like heaven, like we just can't know a lot about it. But really, if we study about heavenly things, we can learn a lot about it. And one thing he says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Okay, there's one thing we learn in that one verse. Now, the second thing we learn in that same verse, so there's no marriage. Wipe it out of your mind. It's not going to be there. If you're married today, enjoy your marriage. Be good to that person because you're not going to be married in heaven. This is your only chance, right? To be in that kind of state. There's things that's different down here. It's a reason it's different. So it says, there will be no marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, there's the second thing. We are going to be like the angels of God in heaven. One big difference, the only difference is that we can sing a song of redemption that the angels can't sing because they were created angels. They were created holy. They were created to be an angel. I mean, they don't know nothing about it. They don't know nothing about sin or the things that we have had to deal with here because we're human beings. But he's going to translate us and change us so we can enjoy that heavenly home. We cannot enjoy that heavenly home in this kind of flesh and blood body. But he has to change us to be like the angels forever and ever in eternity. It's going to be a wonderful thing. So it says, as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead. Now I want to say this again. Get it in our minds. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So, and we have had, you know, lately we have people that's passed on, and you say, well, they died. Yes, their body died, but they're still alive somewhere in eternity. They're in the presence of God. And he said he will bring them back with him, and I'm going to get into those scriptures, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And that, what is being changed is the body. The body is going to be resurrected and changed into a glorified body so we can inherit heaven. We cannot inherit heaven with this kind of body. So it has to perish. But it's not just going to perish completely because God's going to just change it. It means something to God, right? So it means something to us. You know, my body means something to me. I've lived in this body for all I've known for many years, just like you. And I know some of these things sound, I pray that God would help me not to be too amusing, but I just wanted to get in our minds how wonderful this is going to be, that God is going to change us into a glorified body. And so your body, when it's laid in the grave, is not unseen from God. And it's not like, I don't care if it's been 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, and these bodies are just dust. God's going to put them back together, and he's going to raise them a glorified body. And he does have he has his eye on every one of them, even the ones that perished in the seas. It said they will come forth. God's got his eye on every one. That's how much God loves us. And that he would promise us eternal life. You know, I was thinking about that. I read this once, a long time ago. But it says it really does make sense that God, in the first place, took the time to create us. And we see these babies and things. Can we figure that all out? Can we think how we were created? How we have eyes to see, ears to hear, a good mind to think, praise God, the things that he's blessed us with? Can we figure all that out, how we came into existence? Not really. And we know some about it, the process, but we really had nothing to do. I mean, God created us. He gave us this life. If he did that for us, why do we doubt heavenly things? We should not doubt that God can't do it again and do a better job. I mean, why any better job? I didn't mean it that way. I mean, he's done a wonderful, wonderful job. But it's going to be better to be glorified. Why? Because there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more in heavenly things. I'm telling you this morning of heavenly things. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about. So it says here, so we got a hold of that in 22, and there's no marriage, but he is the God of the living. Just remember this always. When you see these graveyards and these cemeteries, and you think, oh, all these people died. But they are alive in eternity. They are alive. And according to the scriptures, and we'd have to get all into that, but according to the old books and those saints that taught, according to the Bibles, and they studied and all this, that he said to the man on the cross, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And the final heaven, to me, is going to be when we're resurrected and we're glorified, and that was going to be the final resurrection. And people that are not saved, because we know where they go, but I'm not talking about that. We know they go to Hades and hell, but we're not dwelling on that this morning. I'm trying to encourage us all about heavenly things. What's going to happen to us? What we're going to be like? We know very well that we will be like the angels in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. And we're going to be... I want to turn over just a little bit here. Christmas is coming. And St. Luke in 2. Because you say, well, some people say, well, there's not a whole lot of the Bible. I hear this sometimes. Talks about heaven, but you know, there's quite a lot if you really search the scriptures and think about these things. But and anyway, over here in St. Luke 2, it talks about the angels. The shepherds were out in the field, and Jesus was born that night, and the angels came from heaven. The angels are created to be a comfort to us, to give prophecy to us, what's going to happen. God sends them on errands. All through the Bible, God talks about angels, and he sends them on errands, like Gabriel, and he went to John and, Zechariah, and told him that John the Baptist was going to be born, and so different things. So in this part, it says, the angels, the shepherds were out in the field, and the ninth verse, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, this was an angel talking. This was something supernatural to them that they did not, you know, they were really listening to this, you know. I mean, this was some special visit. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Swaddling clothes are like big, long strips of rags that they wrapped Jesus in. So, and suddenly, there was, with the angel, this one angel was talking at first, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, or I could say, a multitude of angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I'm trying to get us to think about this. Every one of those angels that appeared that day are still there in heaven. Heaven is a real place. Every one of those angels, and that one angel that gave the good tidings and all of this multitude, still there. They can appear anytime if God wanted them to. They're still there. I tell you this morning of wonderful heavenly things. Heavenly things. Let's get, our mind is just wonderful. After that, after they said all that and they saw the multitude of angels, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. They went back and then it was all probably dark that evening. And they went back and all that light and all that visit went back. And they went back to heaven. Then the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So there's another glimpse of angels. Luke 20 and 36. Luke 20 and 36. You know, I'm excited about heaven. No, it says here, I'm going to read this again, Luke 20 and 35, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. No more dying, no more. You'll have a glorified body, you'll live forever and ever. What all you will do in heaven, there's many, many things. I'm gonna touch on some of that I have studied according to the Bible. St. John 1:51. I don't think I've read that yet. St. John 1:51. Praise God for this. It says here, let's read 50 first. Remember, Jesus was telling Nathanael that, "I saw you, Nathanael, under the fig tree before I called you." Jesus said he saw him under the fig tree. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Because he said, Nathanael said unto him, oh, let's read out there a little bit to get the story. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." He knows all about us. He knows our heart. He knows everything about us. Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." You know, when these things happen to us on earth, we have faith. We believe and we think, "My, this is just something. You saw me under the fig tree." This instant, "You are the Son of God. You are great." But Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." This is what I want you to get a hold of this morning. Heavenly things. It's so much greater than the life we're living here. This is a wonderful life, and I'm not trying to diminish the life God has given us. There's very many enjoyable things. I've enjoyed my life. Many wonderful things that God has done for us. But God has got something greater. And he says to him, "I saw the end of the picture. You believe that. Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is what I'm going to get rid of. When the Lord appears in the sky and he comes after us, whether we're dead or alive, you know what I'm trying to say, like buried in the ground or you're alive. When God comes, the angels are going to be ascending and descending all around him, multitudes of angels. It's going to be an amazing thing. So when this happens, this talks about angels again. So I'm trying to move a little bit. So we're going to have a glorified body. It's going to be like Jesus. So what body did Jesus have after death? St. Luke 24:31. This is the closest that I can kind of think as an example of what it will be like. Matthew, Mark, Luke. St. Luke 24:24, and he was walking with these two on the road to Emmaus, and I'm not going to read all that, but he was talking to them, Jesus was, and it says here, he began to talk to them about the scriptures and things, and then their eyes were open, and they knew who it was. And the 31st verse, it said, he vanished out of their sight. So this was Jesus after the resurrection, and he could vanish out of their sight, even though he looked just like us, like a human being. But he was glorified. And it says, And then all of a sudden, in the 36th verse, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. From what I read in the commentaries and different things in the Bible, the disciples were afraid that they were going to come and get them and persecute them. So they had locked doors, not just locked doors, but they had the doors barred. So the people could not get them and put them on a cross or kill them. They were free after Jesus was, you know, killed on the cross. So they were hiding there. There is no possible way Jesus could have got in there in this kind of body. But he had a glorified body. He could just go right, just appear there. He could vanish and he could appear. And same with angels. They can do that. Now, I told you the story that I felt like that was an angel that opened my car. And when I turned around, he had vanished. Or he, you know, my keys locked in the car, and he waved his hand on the door there. Well, when I turned around, he was gone. I couldn't find him nowhere. So these are the things that they can do. So it says here, Jesus appears to them, says, peace be unto you. They were terrified. They were frightened. And they supposed that they had seen a spirit. No, this was not a small thing. Jesus had died on the cross, and now he's right there and appears right there. I mean, these are things that would happen to us. The human part of us would think, be a little afraid. But Jesus says to them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Now I want to get a hold of this because I want to get a hold of this scripture. See, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. He showed them the nail prints in his hands. He had hands. And he had flesh and bones. But their width is not the same as we have right here. It was a glorified body. You see what I'm trying to say? That's what you're going to be like in heaven. You're going to, I'm telling you of heavenly things, it's going to be like that. You're going to be like Jesus. You're going to have a glorified body. And you're going to inhabit your body. And it says here, handle me and see, for spirit hath not. Now, I'm not saying these words, Jesus' words. This was his words. He said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And I wrote in there, beside their glorified. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet, believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, okay, now I'm going to prove something even greater. I'm going to prove to you that it is I, that I can eat meat. That says here, have ye here any meat? What did they give him? They gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. Jesus took it and did eat before them. Now, if Jesus could eat in a glorified body, now this is just what I'm saying, according to, I'm telling you heavenly things. I believe that we will eat. And I'm going to read some more in heaven. It's going to be different. The part that I think is different is here, what is one of the most enjoyable things of our life? One of them. To be honest, eating. But probably some of us thinking about this afternoon. I can't deny it didn't cross my mind. Because, you know, we haven't had any breakfast. I didn't feel like eating earlier. I just drank tomato juice and water. So, you know, by the time 2 o'clock around, I'm like, oh, I get getting hungry. But what I'm trying to say is, I believe according to Scripture, why would Jesus eat if we're not going to eat? Why would he tell the disciples at the Last Supper, this is the Last Supper, but I will not drink of this wine. I'll get there in a little bit. I will not drink of this until I drink anew with you in the kingdom of heaven. If there's a Last Supper, in my mind, I think there's going to be a First Supper. We're all together. So the thing is here, in this life, food is what for? to sustain life. It's not, God had to make it really good and really wonderful so we would keep going after it. So we would live. Right? He puts that desire in us because he wants us to live. The same way when you get real tired. I mean, I'm just telling you. Sometimes I just want to keep working around the house and keep wanting to do something else, but my body just starts shutting down on me. I'm just getting so tired and miserable. I got to lay down. He made us that way so we would sleep. Because he knows if we didn't sleep, we would have enough strength in our poor mortal bodies to get up and work the next day. So he makes us that way. But in heaven, we don't need food to sustain life. According to what I've studied this, it's going to be different. It's going to be totally consumed. It's going to be totally absorbed. Now, I know, I'm just reading according to the Bible. I'm going to read some more scriptures. You can think about it the way you want, but it's going to be totally absorbed, and it's going to be for enjoying. I'm just reading according to scripture. I know, I can't tell you 100% that I know exactly what it's going to be like in heaven. All I can do is share these scriptures. But God gave me this. He gave me this message because I got up one morning, and I started having my worship. And I wrote and wrote and wrote, and the Lord just gave me wrote and wrote and wrote about heaven. And then one time he got up, I shared it with him. He said, well, the Lord's giving you a message. But I didn't really know how to title it, so I asked the Lord, and then he gave me that scripture. I tell you of heavenly things. Now, I'm just telling you this. Would it not be reasonable if Jesus ate that we might eat? Why was he going the next step? Have you have any meat here? I mean, he could have said, I'm not going to eat no meat because in heaven we don't eat, so don't give me nothing. But he said, no, give me some fish. Because he knows that would bring it where we would understand that a glorified body could eat some fish, because this is what we've done all our lives. Eat some fish and honeycomb. He did eat them from them. Have you heard any meat? And he took it and he did eat it before them. Now this is the resurrected Christ. And this is so interesting to me. Heavenly things. Heavenly things. Okay? I'm going to prove to you that I can eat. So he takes it and he eats it. Where in the Bible did Jesus... Okay, where did I get this? 41, 24. Let me make sure. He ate raw fish. Okay. Now, St. John 21, he appears to Jesus. This is the third time that he appears to his disciples. In St. John 21... You know, you think, well, Sister Marsh, why are you telling us all about heavenly things? You know why? One reason, because the Lord gave me. But because I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Even if you've lost loved ones or somebody, and we lost your Sister Sylvia the other day. That's not the end of Sister Sylvia. She's somewhere in heaven, in a heavenly place, paradise. She knows where she's at. Sister Juanita, they know where they're at. They're still existing. They're not perished. Heaven is real. We don't understand everything about it, but it's real. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you of heavenly things. And he goes, I want you to believe them. Okay, the third time when Jesus arose from the grave. Now, this was not a small thing of the resurrection. He arose from the grave. And he went to visit his disciples. Why did he do all that? He wanted them to believe. Even Paul said, I saw Christ after death. He's talking about, I saw his glorified body. I saw him. Many of us, even I think it was like over 500 people or something on the day of Pentecost. Somewhere right around there where they gathered, you know it, in St. Luke 1, and he went up and before their eyes. He went up to heaven. But Paul said, I seen him myself with my own eyes. I'm putting it in my own words. But Paul seen him. And then we wonder, we should not even have to wonder why those disciples was so encouraged to go and to preach the gospel and to go, even at the peril of their life. And I believe that all of them perished by being martyred, except for John, that was put on the Isle of Patmos. And they tried to kill him and put him in boiling oil, and he survived. Because God didn't let him, and so then they put him on this island because they thought, I'm going to get rid of this man. He didn't even perish with us because God wanted him to write the Revelations. And so these people, you know, we haven't seen Jesus. We see him in the Spirit. Well, we haven't seen him as a glorified Christ, but we will. But we will. And these are heavenly things. So it says here, the third time Jesus said, Simon, no, he says, he started making fish there. And Jesus was cooking the fish for him. He said, come and dine. The 12th verse, come and dine. And none of his disciples just asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. He taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. Now, it might not say, unless you all can find it, right at that moment that he ate fish with them. But I'm just kind of thinking he did, because, I mean, if he did it before and he fixed the fish for them, and he told them to come dine with him, you know, I think pretty reasonably that he did eat with them. But, you know, maybe spell it out there like that. But St. John, last chapter, St. John 21, and the 12th verse, Jesus says, come and dine. There's something about food. Food to sustain our life. God compares a lot of that, like Bible, like the bread of life. The bread of life just sustains our spirit, you know. And so God takes temporal things to show us spiritual things. And so this is, and I'm going to read all about that, but I was trying to get Matthew 26 and 29, when he had the Last Supper, what did he say to them? This is the just before he died, 26 and 29. It says here, and he's telling them, oh, this is my bread, take eat, this is my body, it represents my body. That's the 26th verse. He said, take the bread, bless it, break it, and give it to the disciples. Take heed, this is my body. Then he takes the cup, and he fills it with grape juice, I'm going to say. I can study that out with you some time. But this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink. Now listen. Jesus says, I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So he's saying very plainly, I'm drinking it now, and I'm going to drink it later with you. But what did he say? I will not drink. This is the Last Supper. Jesus, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day, until that heavenly day, I'm putting my words, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, what I'm saying, you know, he said he was going to drink it till we have that supper with him. Just think about that. Have you ever, and I've done this in my life, have you ever had a special food at home? Maybe it was a pie. Maybe you had a couple slices of pie left or what? And you want to save that pie for your loved one. You're not going to eat none of that pie until your loved one gets home and you can sit down and share that pie with them. Praise God. That's like Jesus. This is serious to him. I'm having my last supper with you, but I'm not going to drink that vine again of this juice until we drink it together in my Father's kingdom and have our supper together. Oh, it's so exciting. Know that Jesus, these are some of the things that we can think about, okay? Now I want us to think about Psalm 78, and 25. Remember when the Lord rained down manna from heaven. This is kind of like a preaching in a Bible study, but I wanted to get a hold of this. 78 and 25. It says in the 24th verse, let's read Psalm 78, 24. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Now we're talking about heavenly things. This manna that came down, where did it come from? It came down from heaven. It came down for the Israelites. It came down from heaven. And then the 21st says, man did eat angel's food. Now there's another proof that there's food in heaven. I mean, if you believe the Bible, I mean, it says it very plainly, doesn't it? Man did eat angel's food. He sent them meat to the full. Man did eat angel's food. Angel's food. So is manna, this I'm thinking in my mind, manna is angel's food. Manna is something of a sweet bread, they say, a wonderful sweet bread. It sustained them for a long time. They ate that. And is this what they're sharing in heaven? Angels are sharing this manna? I don't know. It's amazing when we think about the similarities that heavenly things could be, only so much greater, right? Because the role of food is going to change from being necessary to pleasurable in heaven. Now, this is what I'm getting out of it, okay? According to the scriptures, I'm not trying to dream up something. I'm just reading you what the scriptures say. But I think sometimes we pass over some of these verses and we don't think about it enough. We understand that things will be different than when we were mortals or human beings. Yes, we shall eat and drink in heaven, but according to the Bible scriptures, the food will just be perfectly absorbed. It's different. It's going to be different. As far as I can understand. So, I'm going to try to read some just a little bit more and I'll be done here. There's so much more. I've heard people say, we just won't have any memories. The memory's going to be gone. I think bad memories will be gone. I think anything that would make us sorrow, because it said there's no tears in heaven, there's no sorrow. I don't think we're going to remember things that would upset us, okay? But I don't think our memory's going to be completely wiped out, because then we would not even know who we were. We would not even know the joy of heaven. And according to the Mount Figuration, when Jesus appeared, when Elijah and Moses appeared to Jesus, they knew they were Moses. They knew they were Elijah. And that's according to what I understand. So I'm going to read these scriptures to help you a little bit, and I'll try to finish this up a little bit. But I just want our minds to really get into the Bible, study it, study about heavenly things. It's not all, people think that heaven is just all mysterious and we don't understand anything. That's not true. If you read the scriptures, you can understand a lot about heaven. 16 and 23. I'm not going to go into that, but that was the memory of the man that went to hell. But I'm talking about heavenly things, so I want to stick to that. But Thessalonians 4 and 14 through 18, I won't read all that, but I'm just saying that Paul was teaching them to be of good comfort about the future, you know, to be of good comfort. Well, it wouldn't be any comfort if you didn't know who you were. It wouldn't be any comfort if you don't know anybody else. And it just doesn't even make common sense to me that 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died, now I'll just read above that just a little bit. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, when he says asleep there, he's talking about people that have died. The reason I think he used the word asleep is because they're going to be rose from the dead, someday they're going to be, you know, and have the glorified body. So, do not sorrow even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yeah. Now what is going to rise? The spirit's going to be reunited with the body, and the body's going to be changed to a glorified body. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together, and we are going to have to be changed too. If we're, you know, if we're alive and Jesus come right now, we would be changed into a, in a twinkling of an eye. Now I've got that scripture, but I can get it. Wherefore, comfort, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm just telling you, saints, it's just going to be such a wonderful, heavenly thing. Heaven is going to be such a wonderful place that we have to have a glorified body to enjoy it. Because we wouldn't, we couldn't operate there in this body. And that's why God changes us. But it's going to be a thought-provoking thought. I'm going to read to you a little bit here to make you think of this. 1 Corinthians 15:52, I just want to read. I tried to hurry through this, but I want to finish up a little bit because it's so, so good. 15:32 says, a lot about, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you want to read about this, is a lot explains it. It says 32, if after the manner of men have I fought with beasts of Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? In other words, Paul was saying, if what advantage for me to live for God and go, or any of us, if we have not a real hope of this heaven. Anyway, you can read a lot in the 15th chapter. I won't read all that, but the 44th verse is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Just remember that. If you don't read nothing else there, just kind of right now. And then read the 51st verse. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I'm speaking to you of heavenly things. You are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So we're speaking to you this morning of heavenly things. Isn't it wonderful? That someday that we're going to be in heaven with God and the angels, and we'll have immortal bodies, changed bodies, and what God all has in store for us. I can't tell you everything, but there's going to be joy and songs, joy and pleasures, eternal pleasures forevermore. That Psalm 16:11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy at thy right hand. You know, at the right hand of God, there are pleasures forevermore. He's got pleasures for us in heaven forevermore. Now, I've got just a little bit more to read. In Revelation 22:1, and I'm going to read some things I wrote down. In heavenly things, I'm speaking, there will be no more tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying, and there'll be no more pain. That's spelled out in Revelation 21:4. For all these things are passed away. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Death is a hard thing. When you love somebody and they die, it's a hard thing to go through. It's not easy. I had a dream just the other day. My dad came to me in my dream. I've only dreamed about him a couple of times, I think, since he died. And he just didn't really say anything to me. He just gave me a hug. But it was comforting. But you know what it says? There'll be no more jazz, no more sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Have you ever had bad pain? No more of that. The former things are passed away. That's what's heaven, heavenly things. And the last verse that I want to read, Lord willing, is Revelation 22 and 1. I got it right. Yeah, 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Now, what I want to get a hold of here is like when you have a beautiful garden and you have trees that are bearing fruit and you have beautiful green grass, what does all that need? Water. You know, those if you have a plant, you have to give it water, right? And it gives you great, makes it beautiful. Okay, so in this, and he showed me a pure river, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bears 12 manner of fruits, 12 different fruits on this tree of life, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And the part that I was wanting to get hold of is this fruit is yielding every month. It's not stale. It's not a tree of life where the fruit gets old and you've seen some trees like that. But every month it gets fresh fruit. It yields fresh fruit. It does it every month. And I'm just going to read a little bit more. It says here in the fifth verse, and there shall be no night there in heavenly things, in a heavenly home. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. These things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets and his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And the 12th verse says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I hope that you got some encouragement out of this, that this message was just telling us of heavenly things. And I want to go to heaven. If my life is over, I just really want to do that. I just want to make it. I want to be faithful. Pray for me.